you look around at everybody here right now, we look saved and sanctified. We look like we've never done anything. We've never been to the club. Anybody never smoked no weed in here. Look like nobody did no cocaine. Ain't nobody spent the night and woke up next to somebody they didn't know who it was. It don't seem like we did that kind of stuff. We just look that way today. But we too were foolish. Were disobedient. Y'all looking at me strange like, I ain't doing none of that, Pastor. Well, you did something.
This is Jerry G. Martin, and welcome to The Light of the World. This is the season that we need to remind ourselves of the reason that Jesus Christ came into the earth. He came to seek and to save those who were lost. He came to be our Savior and give us a new life. Join us today as we continue to walk in the light of God's Word.
Sometimes you can hear people say something like, I may not be where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. If you are a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ and have dedicated your life to Christ, there are a few things that you can know for certain. Number one, you can know that there was a change in your life when you came to Christ. Amen. If you came to Christ and have made that commitment to Him, there was a change. If you have not changed, nothing happened. The Bible tells us if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. There is change when Christ comes into your life. There's nobody that He came into their life that didn't change some. Secondly, if you have come to know Christ, you will discover this as well, that you are not comfortable doing the same things, the same ungodly things you did before you came to Christ. You may do that, but if Christ is in you, the Holy Spirit's in you, you are not comfortable because He's on the inside of you arguing with you that you need to straighten up and confess and repent. Okay, let me say that again. If you have Christ in your life and the Holy Spirit's on the inside of you, you cannot continue to live an ungodly life and be comfortable. What happened to cause that tremendous significant change in your life? You had an encounter with Christ. The same Jesus who was born in Bethlehem. The same Jesus who was the object of the search by the wise men. The same Jesus who was born of a virgin and died on a cross and was raised up on the third day. That's the one that you met, and He's the one that has changed your life. I want us to look at a passage that Paul the Apostle wrote to Titus as I want to continue to look at the change that happens in our lives when we meet this Jesus Christ who now we celebrate. In the book of Titus, chapter 3, if you don't know where Titus is, ask your neighbor next to you. Say, what happened to Titus? Chapter 3, beginning at verse 3 in the NIV. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. When people who do not know Christ and people who do not live the Christian experience come to church and observe us and observe our life and our lifestyle, for those of us who are living a righteous, holy life, they are sometimes put off by how we carry ourselves and how we function and how we live and how we talk and how we walk. They may think that they can't live up to the lifestyle of righteous living and righteous giving and serving. I can't do that, they may say. I can't live that kind of life. You don't know who I am. That they may believe that the things that they have done may still be doing, that God will not forgive them and God will not save them. God don't want me in his family. You don't know who I am. You don't know what I've done. You don't know where I come from. You don't know the kind of things that I've experienced in my life. I'm not sure that God would even accept me. But Paul dispels that notion in verse 3. He says to those who were listening, he says, we too were foolish. Who's the we? Those of us who are believers. Those of us who are sitting here worshiping. Those of us who are following Jesus Christ. We too were foolish. And we can say that. Everybody in here who's saved can turn to somebody who's unsaved and say, I know what you're dealing with because we too were. He said, first of all, we were foolish. Amen. The problem with being foolish and being a fool is that you don't know you're a fool. Because if you knew you were a fool, you'd do something different. Amen. That's why they call it foolish. The Bible says a fool says in his heart, there is no God. He said, now, if you find somebody say, I don't believe in God, you don't even have to finish the conversation. Because the Bible says a fool says in his heart, there is no God. And then he lives with that understanding, there is no God. So I can do what I want to do and I can function like I want to function. There is no case for moral standards and no case for living a life that is right and righteous. I can't define it. I'm charting my own course. I'm doing my own thing. He says, we too were foolish. We were living as if there was no God. Secondly, he says, we too were disobedient. Before you come to Christ, you were disobedient. We walked in disobedience to the things of God. Even though we knew what God said, some of us grew up in church and we went to Sunday school and we knew the word and we can quote some of the scriptures, but we still lived a life apart from the word of God and we did things and we practiced a lifestyle. And we said sometimes, and you still hear people say, well, I know what the Bible say. What's next? But. So that means that you have decided that you're going to be disobedient because it's not convenient for you. You look around at everybody here right now. We look saved and sanctified. We look like we've never done anything. We've never been to the club. Anybody never smoked no weed in here. You know, we look like that. Look like ain't nobody did no cocaine. Ain't nobody spent the night and woke up next to somebody they didn't know who it was. It don't seem like we did that kind of stuff. We just look that way today. But we too were foolish. We too were disobedient. Y'all looking at me strange like, I ain't doing none of that, Pastor. Well, you did something. You stole some donut holes when nobody was looking. Paul says, number three, we were deceived. We too were deceived. We were disobedient. We were foolish. We were deceived. The Bible said there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. We were deceived. We thought that we were going the right way. We thought that we had a good understanding of how we wanted to direct our lives and live our lives and whatever, regardless of what God says about it. It's my life and I can do what I want to do with my life. Nobody has the right to tell me what I need to do. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is destruction. We thought we could manage our life without God having any influence in our life and controlling our lives. When we grew up in church and we saw people living righteous and holy and honoring God, and we thought, I don't know if I can do that. They don't drink, they don't cuss, they don't go out to party, they don't do those kind of things. That's boring to me. I can't live that kind of life. We thought that we could find fulfillment by accomplishing things on our own. Paul says, I know who we are. I know who's in the church. We too We don't look like it now because we're lifting our hands in praise and we're giving God thanks and we're reading our Bible and we're coming to prayer meeting. But we too were disobedient. We too were deceived and we too were foolish. That's what we were. And then he says, we too were enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We were enslaved by that. We were enslaved to our own lust and desires. Those desires for possession. I got to have that. I got to have that. And the world plays to our desires. That's why they spend billions and billions of dollars to advertise, because they know there's a desire. You want that stuff. And they just show it to you, and they just got to make it look real good. They light it up. Sometimes I look at the food commercials for a hamburger, and that hamburger looks so good, but they got that thing lighted, sprayed. They got that thing fixed up. You wouldn't want to eat what you see. But they got to make it look so that you say, ooh, I'm going down there and get me one of them. You just bought a car year before last, but now they show you that new one. You say, ooh. You don't like your car no more. Now, the car manufacturers know that if you like your car and you're going to keep up with it for 10 years or 11 years or 12 years, they're going out of business if folks keep their cars that long. They got to entice you to get another one. They got to entice you to get another iPad. They're not going to just make one and put everything in it this year. They're saving some stuff for the next issue. They know you want it. You're going to stand in line to go get it. I got to get it. I got to get the next phone. This is the iPad 1. Ain't nothing wrong with it. It does everything I need. So get you another one, Pastor. For what? Right. Give it to me. We got passions for possessions. We're not satisfied with our four-bedroom house and two-car garage. We don't have enough room for all the cars. We need some more stuff. We need a bigger stuff. And we need to upgrade. We need to go out and spend some more money on it. That's just the way we are. He says, we too were enslaved by all kinds of passions. So we have passions for possessions. People rob other folks because they want their stuff. People break in other folks' house because they want their stuff. People get in debt because you want stuff you can't pay for. My father bought a 1966 Chevrolet, brand new, and I was in high school, and I said, Dad, why don't we get us some mag wheels? You need some mags to put on the car. He says, why do I need mags? I can't see them while I'm driving. They don't make the car ride any better. In fact, the only one that can see them while I'm riding is that old joker that's going to try to steal them. I said, well, at least we can get air conditioning in the car. He said, you got four of them, roll them down. So if we're not enslaved to our possessions, then we get enslaved to our pleasures. To our lust. I got to gamble. I got to drink. I got to party. Got to have sex. I'm addicted to sex. I just got to have me somebody. Got to have me somebody. I don't care anybody after a while. Men's clubs and pornography and all of those kind of things. That's that addiction. Paul says we were enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We tried to quit on our own, but we were unable to quit until we came into the delivering power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people never quit their addictions until they got saved. And then Paul says, to top that off, we lived in malice and envy. We lived in a culture where there was a dog-eat-dog world, and it's every person for themselves, and we're doing our own thing, and we're not considering others. The Bible said, don't let the world conform you to its way of thinking. Else you're going to have a shallow view of everything that's happening. I'm not turning on the television, the news, and getting my information for somebody to try to shape me to their mold. We live in with malice and envy. That's what you see in the culture right now. The Republicans can't get along with the Democrats, the conservatives and the liberals and the ultra liberals, and the president can't get along with neither one of them. He says we live in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. There are all kind of drama going on around us, and they're stirring it up. We live with malice and envy. We are mad at people. If they have what we want, we just get mad at them. We're trying to get something better than the next person. I like what you got now. I'm going to get something better than that so you can see that I'm better than you. All kinds of stuff going on. And if we couldn't get what we wanted, we became haters. So y'all just thought they started talking about haters lately. Paul said there were some haters, but let your hater be your motivator. We had haters. We lived and interacted with those who were hating and being haters. Nothing's new under the sun, Solomon said. It's things just keep coming around and around. You may label it different, you may tag it different, but it's the same thing, and it all comes from sin nature that resonates in the life of people. So just in case you didn't get it, he said we were foolish, we were disobedient. We were deceived, we were enslaved, and we had an attitude, and we were haters and being hated. That's Paul saying, man, we were some tough customers. That's the bad news. Now for the good news. Verse 4, he says, but when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared. Oh, he said, something happened. We were all of that. Now, let's not casually pass the word but. It is a conjunction used to introduce a statement that adds something to the previous statement, and usually will contrast it in some way. The previous statement in these verses says, at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasure. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But, except for the fact, but instead of having no alternative, but when the kindness of our Lord and our Savior appeared, something happened. God could have left us in this messed up condition, but God could have let us continue to a destination of hell fire for eternity, but God could have turned his back on us while we were yet sinners, but God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yeah, we were foolish. Yeah, we were deceived. Yeah, we had all kind of issues, but God. Somebody say, but God. Verse 5, he said, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. We were totally unrighteous and undeserving, but God. God, because of his mercy, he looked at us and he had mercy upon us. He said, they don't know what they're doing. They can't change their lives on their own. They have no capacity. They have no power to change their own direction. They're just going with the flow. They don't have any way to do that. But God, he saved us through the washing of rebirth, it says in verse 5, and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. God says they need some help. The folks need some help. They are lost and they are helpless and they are harassed. Jesus said that about the people when he talked to his disciples in Matthew chapter 9. He said, look at the people. They are hopeless and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. But he came to save us and to wash us. And verse 7 said, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Yes, we had issues before we got here. We too were foolish. We too were deceived. We too were drawn by our passions and our lust. But God made a way for us. None of this would have occurred without the Savior who was given to us by God 2,000 years ago. God was thinking about you, and he was thinking about me. He was thinking about our salvation. He was thinking about our joy and our peace. He was thinking about our abundant life. He was thinking about our eternal life. So I want you to think about that as we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Luke tells us about that in verse 2. He says this, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.'" You are included in all the people. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born." God said, "I need you to go down on a mission for me. There are some people who are deceived. There are some people who don't know where they are and where they're going. They're all confused and they're tied up. They're bound. They're in sin. They can't break out. I need you on a mission, so I'm going to send a Savior." He said, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." You were on God's mind thousands of years before you were born. He says, "There are sinners and they need a Savior." I don't know what you're going through. I don't know where you are in your life today. I don't know what has happened in your life. I don't know what you've done. But whatever you've done, God, who is rich in mercy, is able to change your life. And you can't change it on your own. You might want to do better. I tried to do better before I got saved. Some of you tried to do better. I know I need to change. You get to a place where you just know your life is messed up. You know your life is not going down the right direction. So you say, "I need some change. I think I need to be a better person." You can't be a better person. You need to be a saved person. You know you decided, "I just need to manage my mouth. I'm just not going to curse anymore." That was good until you woke up. And you got to the stop sign. And you say, "Oh my goodness, I guess I have to start over again tomorrow." Trying to live good is like trying to stay on a diet. Need I say more? You did pretty good until the next meal. "Well, I guess I'll start next week again." And then the holidays come. Thanksgiving, 4th of July. Somebody have your favorite. You know, people always have your favorite dish when you're trying to diet, don't you? "Oh, Lord, peach cobbler. I'll start tomorrow." Well, the devil does that too. He has your favorite dish of sin when you're trying to be better.
This is Jerry G. Martin, and I certainly hope that you have enjoyed this message for the season. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to bring peace, to bring salvation, and bring his joy into our lives, into our heart. We sing joy to the world. This year has been a tumultuous year. Many of us do not have the joy of the Lord in us today. We may not have the peace of God in our hearts right now because of all the things that have been going on around us. But I want you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is still seeking to save those who are lost. He's still bringing his joy and he's still bringing his peace to every one of us who will turn our hearts toward him and invite him into our lives and allow him to be the Lord of our lives. He was born so that we can be born again and have a new life in Christ Jesus. I invite you to be our guest at the Light of the World. We are meeting in person on Sundays. We do have our medical protocols in place for screening. We have social distancing and we wear our masks. For more information or if you have a prayer request, call us at 281-964-1393. That's 281-964-1393. I also invite you to join us online each Sunday at 10 a.m. at lowcf.org. Again, that's lowcf.org. And then don't forget about the Beacon Bookstore right here on our campus. Call us if you need church supplies, communion supplies, offering envelopes, Bibles or books, or study material. 281-441-2885. Again, that's 281-441-2885. Now for the light of the world, may the Lord our God richly bless you, and we'll be with you again next time.